Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Romero et al. Titled, Folic Acid Ingestion Improves Skeletal Muscle Blood Flow During Graded Hand Grip and Plantar Flexion Exercise in Aged Humans. This article was published online June 30th, 2017, as part of our call for papers on mining natural products for cardiovascular benefits. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Lead Author Stephen Romero, and Content Expert Thomas Barstow. Let's get started.
Thank you, Cara. This study by Dr. Romero and his colleagues at UT Southwestern evaluated the effects of the common dietary supplement folic acid on exercise-induced increases in blood flow. Now, the study found that ingesting high levels of this important cofactor improved the blood flow response to exercise in a small group of healthy older adults. Thus, this dietary supplement may be of benefit in preserving exercise capacity or at least nutrient delivery in older adults. So, Stephen, in designing this study, why did you choose to look at healthy older individuals? Is there a difference in healthy versus unhealthy older individuals that you didn't want to deal with?
Sure. Thank you, Nancy, for the nice introduction there and for the invitation to participate in this podcast. So, in general, the arterial vasculature undergoes profound changes across the human lifespan. This vascular aging includes structural remodeling in addition to alterations in local vascular control mechanisms. Ultimately, these vascular changes contribute to malperfusion of active skeletal muscle, which reduces functional and exercise capacity. And it's really important to emphasize that these changes occur independent of changes in cardiac function.
So, Stephen, in this study, you had primarily females, yet there are certainly published sex differences in vascular health. Could you address potential sex differences in aging in the vasculature?
Absolutely. You're right in that we had primarily older females participate in this study. So we had, of the total number of subjects, we had two men. And when you take a look at the data and you compare the change in muscle blood flow that we observed between the older women and the older men, they both improved to the same extent. So while there is prior work suggesting that the older females are primarily affected, our data would say that at least with hand grip exercise and plantar flexion exercise, they both had some attenuation that we were able to improve.
And now, of course, the real issue with aging and vascular dysfunction in response to exercise is the inability to perform exercise. So, Tom, could you sort of address some of the effects that occur with aging, even in healthy adults, that might affect ability to exercise?
Yes, some of the mechanisms include an impaired vascular responsiveness. So whether it's to flow-mediated dilation or the shear stress measured by flow-mediated dilation, a downregulation of ENOS or endothelial nitric oxide synthase, I think contributes to that. There appears to be a greater reactive oxygen species and inherent problems with the oxidant stress, such that even in the face of properly functioning ENOS, if the oxidant stress level is higher, then there's going to be a scavenging of nitric oxide and a down regulation of the effectiveness, if you will, of that system. So aging seems to be both a down regulation of ENOS as well as increasing oxidant stress, both of which contribute to an impaired ability of the microcirculation to vasodilate and, as Stephen said, deliver oxygen to the necessary sites, including contracting muscles.
Well, and that leads us really nicely into this study, since, of course, folic acid is a precursor for tetrahydrobiopterin, a necessary cofactor for ENOS. And so, Stephen, I don't think you did any measures of NOS activity or NO generation in this study, but maybe future studies that you could use to more directly look at that mechanism?
Sure. So we didn't have a direct measure, as you mentioned, of, say, a nitric oxide, metabolite, nitrate, nitrite. We did use the exercise-induced dilation of the brachial artery as a proxy for nitric oxide-dependent vasodilation. Some very nice work coming out of Russ Richardson's lab that has shown that the dilation of the brachial artery during hand grip exercise is largely dependent on nitric oxide. So we kind of use that as a way to assess whether or not folic acid is actually improving nitric oxide mediated dilation. We found that, in fact, that both acute and chronic folic acid ingestion improved the dilation of the brachial artery during hand grip exercise. So based on that estimate, if you will, of nitric oxide availability, we speculate that we're, in fact, improving nitric oxide availability. But yeah, absolutely. I think for future work, we need to figure out if indeed the mechanism by which folic acid improves blood flow with exercise is functioning through nitric oxide.
So Tom, would you like to reflect on what you found as the most compelling finding of this study and perhaps future directions that you'd like to see Stephen go with this?
Yes, I think one of the most interesting observations was the fact that an acute dose of folic acid could have the same dilatory effect during exercise as a six-week supplementation of 5 milligrams per day. I think most, if not all, of the previous folic acid studies had used a chronic supplementation. And the opportunity to evaluate the same responses with an acute dose, not only I think is important for translation to subject use of folic acid, but it also opens the door for us investigators that are interested in endothelial function to make our studies much more practical. It makes a huge difference if we can conduct a study, let's say in a given day, supplementing with folic acid compared to having to recruit subjects that are willing to engage in a multi-week commitment to the project. So I think that is one of the most important observations to me about this whole project.
And so if we think of implications of this for the public, I'm left with the question of how widespread and important is this sort of impaired blood flow? Does it really impact the amount of exercise that older adults can and do perform? Or is this more of a concern for a specific subgroup of older individuals?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different ways to look at this. I think that, you know, clearly there are issues with the vasodilatory capacity of these older individuals. And I think that reflects overall issues with the cardiovascular system. So you could look at it in terms of cardiovascular health, and maybe this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of future risk for cardiovascular events. But I think this study and studies similar to this really set the stage for really moving the field forward and trying to figure out if these interventions that can improve vasodilation can actually translate to improvements in oxygen uptake and ultimately improvements in functional capacity and exercise capacity. I would be very hesitant to say that this would translate to the heart. You know, some of these classic measures of endothelial function were originally developed as a surrogate for vascular function for the heart. But, you know, I think what the only thing that we can speak to is that folic acid can improve vasodilation within exercising skeletal muscle.
I think that's a very interesting question, though, because we use exercise as a way to increase blood flow to a given target organ, and usually in a way in which we can make measurements about both that blood flow, whether it's in a conduit artery like the brachial artery or femoral artery, and the resulting exercise tolerance or capacity and the metabolic responses. But we don't know, for instance, with this, if there is impaired vascular function, what does it do to the other organ systems? What about the splanchnic beds, the renal vasculature, the stomach, intestinal splanchnic regions? So I think it's a very important issue, and part of the problem is it's much more difficult to investigate those vascular beds. The circulatory control of and delivery of oxygen to contracting muscles is a much easier organ to look at, and so I think a lot of studies have focused on that. It's much more difficult to look at renal blood flow, for instance.
Tom, do you have any burning questions that you've been wanting to ask Stephen about this study?
Yes, Stephen, I'm very interested in the characteristics of the subjects themselves. They were in the 60 to 80 age range. They were healthy. What were the activity levels of these subjects? And then from there, do you think that if any of the subjects were in, let's say, aerobically trained, endurance trained, would that have made a difference in your observations?
Thanks, Tom. All of our subjects were recreationally active, so that included just daily walks, None of them were aerobically trained. I suspect that if we had, say, for example, a master's athlete, that we would probably not have seen as large of an improvement as we saw in this group of subjects. So historically, master's athletes who are also older don't have the standard reductions in skeletal muscle blood flow that we might see with exercise. So to answer your question, I don't think we would have seen the same improvement with folic acid.
Stephen, I have one more question for you. The dose that you gave was about 10 times what the recommended daily allowance or RDA for folic acid is. And I'm wondering if in fact this has a positive outcome for individuals, is there any long-term negative consequences that are known about taking folic acid? In other words, is it something that we can recommend to all older folks, or should there be some concern about a widespread recommendation like that?
That's a fantastic question, Tom. The dose that we chose, again, as you mentioned, was quite high. And with that dose, prior studies have suggested that this poses no toxicity risk. So, and that occurs even with chronic ingestion. So I think you've really nailed down an issue in that we don't know if we could give a smaller dose that would be equally effective. So we should probably conduct some future studies where we can titrate down the dose and determine if we really need 5 milligrams to have these beneficial improvements in muscle blood flow, or perhaps maybe we can just do 1 milligram and that could be equally effective.
So in summary, this somewhat preliminary study nonetheless provides us with some very intriguing observations. Dietary supplementation with high doses of folic acid improves blood flow responses to exercise in older adults. This folic acid is available in green leafy vegetables. It's in our citrus fruit, in dried beans. So this might be a way to ameliorate some of the effects of the loss of nitric oxide in aging. So this is good news for all of us aging adults, suggesting that the usual decrease in exercise capacity with aging could perhaps be prevented or at least diminished by high doses of this easily obtained and well-tolerated supplement. So drink your orange juice, eat your spinach to keep your muscles well-perfused. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Stephen, for contributing to this podcast.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.